Hey everyone, this is Carly from Daytime After. Hi everyone, I'm sorry about that, I accidentally pushed a button. Tonight is one of the best shows I think we are going to have in such a long time because I'm hoping that I'm going to bring someone on that really touched my heart in a way it hasn't been lifted in a while with all this daytime stuff. And I read something a couple of nights ago, and okay, it was at 2 o'clock in the morning, but you know, I feel in love with it. And so I'm going to really be happy if she calls tonight. So I'm going to go over the words really, really quick. No swearing and no cussing. No cussing, no anything. And let's just have a really good time tonight. So I'm going to bring my co-host and, you know, my partner in crime on first, then I will go to the first call of the night. Hello, hey you.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, I'm going to bring on the call.
Okay.
Hello? Hey.
Hi.
Hi, you're Cassandra, right?
Yes.
Okay,
hello.
Good.
Hi.
Oh, good, because
hi.
I didn't ask for your area code, so which I should have, but this totally slipped my mind, and I should have done that. Oh, for anyone that wants to call in and talk with us, the number is 347-850-8751. So, I read your letter about 3 o'clock Sunday night because Terry, my co-host, was telling me about your letter, and she's like, you should read this. And I read it, and it was like everything I've been wanting to say and everything I felt inside me for like the past couple of months.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way. I think a lot of viewers now, particularly the ABC viewers, have been feeling this way for quite some time. First let me give you a little bit of my history.
Okay, yeah, that would be great.
First of all, most of the posters, and I'm going to give a shout-out if I can to...
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, that is totally great. Yeah, give a shout-out. Yeah.
Okay, I want to give a shout-out to pretty much all the boards that I am a member to, and it's a lot, but I'm going to just minimize it a little. I would like to say hello to all of the peeps who I post with at the studio, Liaison Haven, the Safe House, ABC.com, of course, Liaison Finally, and, of course, Road to Nowhere.
Wow, yeah, that's a lot. But, yeah, I'm really good with, I'm good friends with Liaison Finally. So, yeah, she's great. And, I just liked what you said because everything... You know, you said was true in that level.
Well, I'm glad you did like the letter and everything, and I would like to thank you guys for having me on at this time.
Sure.
So that I can speak about the letter.
Yeah, go ahead.
Probably even tell some of the stories that I'm sure a lot of the viewers are feeling now at this point in time. The reason why I kind of like started, because I've been a fan of General Hospital for a good many years, over 35 years. Of course, like all longtime viewers, their parents, grandparents, introduced them to this show, particularly General Hospital. But for me, ABC as a whole has always been on in my house, the total network. So all of my soap viewing pleasure comes from ABC, or should I say it came from ABC at this point, since right now I'm not watching any of those shows. But I've always been an avid fan of ABC and particularly General Hospital, just for the reason alone, because back in the day when it was first introduced to me, of course, it was in black and white in a 30-minute format, and I remember a lot of the characters, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to date myself, but
that's okay.
With Steve Hardy, Audrey Baldwin Hardy, Lucille, and, of course, the infamous Jesse Brewer. So, I mean, I go way back with General Hospital, but particularly I fell in love with General Hospital's character as a whole because they had better writers back then, of course, better storylines, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Everything flowed. Even with the 30-minute format, everything flowed. And when they went to an hour, it just got even better. But the reason why I started this letter-writing campaign to the Disney company and the ABC executives is because the massive discontent, particularly from viewers of General Hospital, but not just General Hospital personally for me, but all my children and One Life to Live as well, since I've been watching these soaps just as long. So my discontent actually started with One Life to Live, and then that festered down to all my children. But I hung on to General Hospital particularly because that was the soap that I first started watching. So I just felt a sense of loyalty to just hang on and hang on
yeah,
and hang on.
Yeah.
But after a period of time, hanging on kind of like got a little bit just much for me because the storylines just were not like they used to be or like not what I was used to seeing. So I got very out involved in the SOS campaign, Save Our Soul.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Keisha and Dana, they're great people, and I thank them dearly for keeping this alive. But
mm-hmm.
I kind of sort of like piggyback on their campaign as well, but it became a personal crusade for me, and then I was encouraged by some of my board peeps to, you know, go for it. And
mm-hmm.
I'm passionate about what
yes.
I wrote, as you can
mm-hmm.
tell in some of my
oh,
letters
yeah.
that I've written, that I'm just passionate about the soap genre as a whole, particularly ABC. And the reason why I started this letter writing, or should I say weekly letter writing campaign, is to try to bring some type of awareness to the Disney company since they own ABC, and then ABC TV exists, just not primarily daytime programming, but the executives
mm-hmm.
that are above the daytime program format as it stands. And the reason why I started this letter writing campaign is to bring the awareness that we as viewers, we are just not happy anymore.
Yep.
We are just not going to accept what they are dishing out to us. And I know there are still some fans of General Hospital, of All My Children, and One Life to Live that still watch. That still suffer through what they're putting out as
yeah.
they are right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to be honest, I am one of those. I wish I could say I'm done with you, and that's it, but it's been very, very, very hard for me. As a soap watcher, this is turning off. I mean, I wish I could say, you know, I'm done, but I can't. I mean, I wish I was as strong as you, but it's been very, hard for me. Oh, is it okay if I bring another person on this conversation, too?
Yes.
Okay, well, I just didn't want to interrupt you and, you know, okay. Hello?
Hi, Carly, it's Tanya. Hi, Cece.
Hey.
Hey, okay, well, I recognize the phone number, Tanya, but I wasn't sure. I thought it might be you, but I didn't want to say your name and get it all wrong. So, yeah, you can continue with the letter. I do. Yes,
Cece, I love the letters that you've been writing. It expresses what I'm feeling. Every day, well, I haven't watched General Hospital for over a year now, and I've watched it. I grew up on it. I've been invested in there close to 26 years. That's a long time. And I come from five generations of women that passed it down to, you know, went from my grandmother to my mother and her sisters to all the daughters. And there's at least 15 of us, and we each have at least 2 to 3 daughters, but we can't pass this on because, yeah, not good. So you can continue on. I just wanted to be on the air to say thanks for writing all of that, writing all your letters.
You are welcome. I just want to represent those that that want to say things, that want to write things, but just sometimes they feel like what do you. So it's, like I said, just climb on my shoulders and I will take you through. So I just feel like someone has to really be a messenger, and with the SOS campaign, and in combining with what I'm doing, hopefully someone at Disney and ABC TV will finally recognize and acknowledge what we are doing.
And wake up and smell the coffee that is long overdue, because what I don't get, if ABC Family and ABC are run by the same person, and please don't hear me, anyone in the chat room or on here, if they are owned by the same company, then I'm not going to even name the actress, but everyone knows who I'm probably targeting with this one comment. How can they sit in their offices every morning and look at the ratings and say, it's okay what they are doing? It's okay by pimping one couple and then all the other couples fall down.
Well, since you brought up the ratings, and since I would say the ratings from the week of January 4th, 2010, ABC as a whole barely made it into the 4th, 5th, and 6th place. Primarily, One Life to Live was in the bottom standing rating. And one of the reasons, in my third round of letter writing, I did actually mention the ratings from that week and how dismal they were. If I can, I don't know if all viewers have seen the letters, because I tried to post the letters to mostly all the boards that I am a member of. But if I can I just read the letters so the listeners that are listening can pretty much know exactly what letter you're talking about and how this all came about?
Go ahead.
I'm going to read this, and it's primarily addressed to the executives of Disney and ABC, and I'm going to name a couple of them. It was addressed to a Mr. Mitchell, of course, Robert Iger, Ms. Ann Sweeney, Mr. Stephen McPherson, Ms. Robin Grisnell, and Mr. Jeffrey Bader. And the letter starts as so. I'm back again with my mantra, new year, new direction for ABC daytime programming. It is important that more than ever, with the latest ratings from the week of January 4, 2010, listen ABC daytime soaps, which are All My Children, One Life to Live, and General Hospital, respectively, only gaining minuscule numbers while other network soaps had a huge jump. I am constantly asking myself, what would it take for upper management at the Disney Company and ABC TV to tackle this ongoing programming problem? At this point and the coming months to come into the new year, something major needs to change to springboard ABC daytime program from permanently holding lower numbers in ratings and positions, or even a recently canceled soap, As the World Turns, garners more numbers than three pioneer soaps of ABC daytime. It is shameful to see an imminent canceled daytime soap top One Life to Live. Members, time is of essence to make changes to your daytime programming soap schedules. More and more viewers are turning away from ABC TV due to the lack of attention given by concerned opinions of the viewers. You have already lost viewership from the past 3 years of viewers who have been disillusioned from the direction that ABC daytime soaps have taken. With the recycle of storylines, crappy storytelling, destruction of soap history and characters, ignoring viewers' opinions, turning fan favorite heroes and heroines into characters so unrecognizable that have us turning our televisions off, disconnecting our TiVos and DVRs, scheduling, or just turning the channels. Do these actions from viewers concern you? They should. Members, the wait-and-see approach is no longer a viable option. You cannot continue to sit on your hands and do nothing. Immediate action needs to be taken to rescue your fledgling daytime soap program. I'm well aware that the huge sums of financial capital utilized to fund the mega move of all my children from New York to California. I also know that this kind of East Coast to West Coast shuffle does not only impact the budget, but the entire production company, staff, and cast. With this huge move, AMC lost key actors and actresses or decreased the airtime of some of their cast. This impacts the integral components to the very essence of AMC. The final blow was when a favorite and Ruth-worthy hero, Amy Devane, turned into a kidnapping psycho in lieu of sending him off on a mysterious spy mission. These are just some of the things that will continue to play and have a great effect on the continued direction of AMC. One Life to Live is not without a share of changes impacting their tentative hold on viewership. Their weekly fourth or fifth and last week's last place standing in the ratings prove my statement. For the last 3 years, One Life to Live has lost more viewers than AMC and General Hospital combined. Rooting favorites have lost their appeal to viewers. Any winning actors and actresses are being passed over to feature characters that have no history. Storylines are flat and not bringing in new viewership. Sadly, this 25-plus years daytime drama has lost its appeal with the micromanaging, agenda-driven storylines that deflect from the very essence of One Life to Live's integrity. The third ABC daytime soaps to feel the brunt of your displeasure and notably constant soap industry mockery is General Hospital. Declining viewership can be attributed to many things that happened from the latter part of 2008 to 2009. The writer's strike did not help the situation when the majority of storylines were at its best. After the resolution of the strike, storylines did not pick up. Basically, they were stalled more, played cat and mouse with characters, and storylines jammed together to introduce characters that fell flat and did not go over well with viewers. In 2008, they abruptly ended the appearance of Jason and Elizabeth, a potential new super couple to whitewash a character that lost its appeal once they shoved this character back into the leading man character. Then the constant promotion and pimping of a fourth couple had viewers scratching their heads, wondering why such emphasis on this one couple when other couples didn't receive this type of exposure in GH's history. Not even the infamous Luke and Laura received this much emphasis, and they were more believable to most viewers.
Mm-hmm.
The destruction of GH's two male leading characters, Jason Morgan and Sonny Corinthos, was imminent once they placed them with female characters that performed heinous and criminal acts on their loved ones. Insulting the fans' intelligence further was the recent out-of-character behavior of two male leads. By no means were these leads angels, but they each had underlying heart of gold amidst their persona. There is no presence of female characters that exhibit strength and integrity, but weak, needy, whiny, sex-crazed, or sleazy women who appear to have lost credibility with viewers. There is not one strong female character left on the show. Almost every female character is shown depicting uncharacteristic behavior or made to feel inferior to the male counterpart. The creation of ABC Insider Access was a public forum where viewers could leave opinions and feedback for The View, AMC, One Life to Live, and General Hospital. The premise for this forum, as told by Mr. Brian Fun, that he was interested in what viewers had to say and valued our opinions about the daytime programming format. We were told that our opinions would be gathered and presented to him, management, and writers for review and consideration. As a previous member, I shared opinions, as did many others. We were all under the impression that our feedback was important and would be taken under consideration for the betterment of the show. In time, this forum became a format that kept fan-based wars raging and a place where viewers' opinions were unheard. Ultimately, this forum became a place to just vent and not be taken seriously by Mr. Franz or management. Basically, viewers were told by Mr. Franz that we could be trained to accept what was on screen. This statement clearly suggests that Mr. Franz feels that viewers are no longer important to the success of this network. It is a sad state when viewer opinions are no longer important, as we are what advertisers consider when marketing their products. Now there is a newly revisited ABC Insider Access available for posting. Ironically, the forum is only accessible by invitation only. I noticed that there has yet to be an invitation for me to join and to participate in the feedback format. It is clear that my opinions and that of others who have not received invitations that were not or valued based on the snub by the creators of this forum. I see nepotism, in effect, at its best. It is clear that only a select few who were trained are the opinions and the feedback they wish to see. Very clear message that hypocrisy is taking place when request for freedom of speech is no longer valued. In closing, members, I truly hope that serious thought will be taken to change the direction of all your daytime soap dramas. With each drama respectively being on air for more than 25 years, would it not be conducive to put forth an effort in going back to what these dramas at the forefront of daytime viewing? It is important to actively listen to viewer feedback, and I would think developing better storylines, preserving history, writing storylines that show character growth, and writing characters true to their history are ways of sustaining current viewers, luring lost viewers back, and recruiting new viewers to tune in is important. I want a reason to come back to ABC daytime programs. Give me a great reason to return. God forbid, don't expect to try and train me and other viewers into accepting or liking mediocrity storylines that have been thrown together or recycled. Give viewers good, believable storyline that doesn't destroy the history of a character. Give viewers true, root-worthy couples that make sense, not couples thrown back together that are promoted and pimped on Facebook, Twitter, and other internet networks that make you not want to tune in. Viewers want a reason to stay or a reason to return and a reason to make ABC TV their soap home. Give me a reason and viewers an incentive to call ABC TV home again. And with that, it was really interesting that I don't know if both, and I'm sure most viewers are familiar with Nelson Bronco.
Yes.
On the heels of that, it was interesting that an alumnus of General Hospital, Ken Schreiner, recently said something very poignant about GH in a sense, but you can tell that it was directed at GH and the direction that they have taken recently. And what he said was, when people patronize a street artist, the performer loyally plans to his or her, plays to his or her audience and not the people walking by. That's business. That's what soaps should be doing. And I totally agree. He further emphasized that soaps should be playing to the audience they do have, which, in my opinion, is the longtime viewers who have kept GH and other soaps on this network on air for over 25 years, not the imaginary audience they think is out there.
Exactly.
And that's the whole premise that I see that is happening with the management, current management, I say, of the daytime president programming. And I want to keep my, I'm very passionate about this. For some reason, I have become very passionate about it. But the reason being is because, I mean, for me, I want a reason to escape from all the things that are going along in the world. There's enough crime. There's enough disasters. There's enough destruction going on. When I want to tune in to watch, to escape, I want to tune in to watch something that takes me away from all of that for an hour or two or 3 hours or what have you. I don't have that outlet anymore. And that is what's sad about ABC Network, is that for their daytime programming format, they don't have that in their soaps anymore. They have a lot of things that are thrown together, or either what they are doing is that they're promoting different things, that, or they take things where it's just so out of context. There's no continuity to their storylines. You can just tell that it was just thrown together at a moment's notice. And this last storyline that they promoted out of the Wazoo, which was the Jason versus Franco storyline, that had the potential of being a good storyline, but you can see the underlayings of favoritism being played out on that, and how it didn't go the direction that it should have, when that storyline should have garnered more viewership than what it did. It really did not do what it should have done. And that's the sad part. That's the sad thing. And that shouldn't have happened.
I agree with you on that, because the first half of it started out good, but then they just started inserting things. The second half made absolutely no sense at all. Franco he did finished killing off Jimmy Limbo, whatever his name is.
Yes.
But then to all of a sudden turn around and kidnap three women just to make Jason's shoes, it was ridiculous. Okay.
Wow.
That whole entire thing was ridiculous the second half, because it didn't match up at all. I caught episodes of it on YouTube when it first started. I was like, okay, this is going to work. This might do something. But then, all of a sudden, who's inserted? I mean, when viewers look at that storyline and they see Sam in there, they automatically assume it's a J-Sam storyline instead of a Jason storyline. This is supposed to have made him think about his choices, you know, to be with he could have a life other than being Sonny's enforcer. Seems like all their storylines are just thrown. They just throw them together, throw them at the wall, and pray to God that one of them sticks. But none of them are working.
Yeah, I agree.
Number one, if they could have put Elizabeth in that storyline, because number one, you know, she was the artist. Number two, if they would have done the kidnapping in a way of, you know, number one, Jason would have really saved Carly before he would have saved that slut in it ate Sam. Number two, you know, if someone killed Sam in the Real House, that would have been a good storyline to tell. If Sam suddenly got dead in that building, I personally would have been just zombie off my bed, okay? If I sprained my ankle in the process, I would have really been happy, because, you know, it goes back to the thing, he did not have to save that scrawny little bitch. I'm sorry, little kid out there, but he did not need to save Sam. Saving Lulu and Carly, I'm a big Lulu and Carly fan. So anyone out there, I'm sorry to make you mad at me or whatever. I just love the Carly and Lulu, and I will go to my death loving those two characters and Elizabeth. But saving Sam is something I will never understand, because he said to Franco, I gotta go save my friends. He did not say, I got to go save the love of my life. I got to go save my friends.
Well, the term love of my life, it no longer applies to Sam, to the
mm-hmm.
Sam character. But the simple reason is that relationship had its heyday. And it was bearable. I'm not going to lie about it. It was bearable to watch. But to me, there was always a lack of chemistry between two actors. Steve has had other female lead characters, or should I say other female characters that played his love interest that he had better chemistry with than what I saw with Kelly Monaco. I mean, if we go back to when he was Jason Morgan, Jason Quartermain.
Jason Quartermain.
When he was Jason Quartermain, and when he fell in love with the actress.
You guys,
And Tisha, you could tell that there was a lot of chemistry there. You could tell even off screen that there was a lot of chemistry. You could tell in their interviews that they enjoyed, or should I say, they played off each other well. He played off of Kimberly McCullough well as too. And then even Sarah Joy Brown, who I really don't care for as an actress, however, but there was chemistry there.
I'm going to bring another caller on here too, because I don't know how long the other caller's been waiting.
Okay.
And I'm trying to get to everyone tonight because I don't want to let anyone down, and I don't want anyone to be mad at the Q hostess beside me. Hello?
Hey, guys, it's Jay. What's going on?
Oh, hi, Jay. Hi.
Good.
Hello.
So, how you doing? You guys
good.
Carry on. I'll just add to the conversation as it goes on.
Okay, you guys carry on. They will add to the conversation and just be ready for a fight, you guys.
Oh, my God.
Well, if you get to, you were talking about the football storyline. If you go back to, well, let's focus on Guza. Let's focus on Bob Guza. To me, his best writing was between 2006 and 2007. The Metro Court hostage situation
yes.
was one of his best writings to
oh,
me.
Oh, yeah,
other than,
I agree.
Other than the whole liaison reconnection. But within that storyline, first of all, it encompassed the entire cast.
Almost the entire cast.
Almost the entire cast.
Yes.
It was riveting. It had action. I mean, there was violence, don't get me wrong, which in my opinion, there's been pretty much too much violence on this show for the last, I would say, 3.5 years. But
okay,
I disagree
with that, but okay.
Okay. But in the premise of what that storyline alone brought, it brought a lot of good scenes. Even the characters that you didn't care for, they brought their A game to it. And
yes.
that was good. That was great writing then. But to me, the aftermath after it, that's when he fell short. That's when he fell short. And then, granted, we can blame that pretty much on the writer's strike, but for me, that was his best writing. But however, once the Metro Court crisis thing ended, he kind of like left a lot of things hanging. He didn't actually pursue. And I never understood, and I know that this was a political thing, I never understood why they had to kill the character of Alan Quartermain. Killing the character of Alan Quartermain, why not showcase Stuart Damon's talent? Why not showcase him having a major, major stroke where he was left paralyzed, or the after effects of a stroke, where he had to rehabilitate himself and come back? That would have been a great emotional journey for that actor.
May I interject?
Should they interject?
Well, yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying, and, you know, of course that makes perfect sense, but you got to realize that, I mean, we're in a different world now. Like, when they decide to get rid of an actor, they don't want to go through the entire giving this character a backstory for him to, you know, give. Basically, I get what you're saying. He deserved a proper exit, but once you decide to, you know, give an actor the axe, they want to get him out of there quick and introduce someone else.
Okay, but it wasn't to get someone else new out of the way. They were doing the whole, he's so old, let's get him out of the way thing. That's what they were doing. No, this is my third day, so I can press the nice little button. Let me finish. That's what they were doing in 2006 with a lot of these guys who was the same age as Alan Coleman. They wanted them either less screen time, or they were killing a lot of the older actors off.
Right. No, I agree. I'm just saying, like, when you're talking about Alan, I agree.
Okay.
Like, when you're talking about someone like Alan Quartermain, I mean, then you can just bring up, I mean, how many times have they done that, really? I mean, was it really a shock? And I'm not even a fan. I mean, they've done that to, you know, so many other actors, you know, quality actors on that show. I mean, really.
Honestly, okay. Have you noticed that all of the actors and actresses that are on there right now, other than some of the vets, are under 40?
Yeah, absolutely.
They're trying to see, that's the point, that's the main, that's another one of the reasons that a lot of people don't watch Daryl Hospital and some of these other shows, is because they tune in to see the ones they grew up with on this show.
Yep, exactly.
And if you don't recognize anybody on the show, why are you going to sit there and watch it?
Exactly.
It's
catered to a different audience now, mostly.
Catered to what? The different audience.
The younger
audience. I get that. I'm only 36, and I've been watching this for almost 26 years. What I'm looking at is that I'm looking at your core fan base, the ones that's been with you through thick and thin.
Oh, no, they don't care about them.
Oh, they alienated all of them. And if you notice, you've seen how the dip in the ratings went.
Yeah.
It's just like that. I read this article by Ken Schreiner, who was formerly Scotty of General Hospital. He said it best. If they don't, and Grant Alexander said it too. If you take a character and write them out of order, fans will not forgive it.
Mm-hmm.
Fans won't forgive it. They'll walk away. They will walk away, and it's very hard to get back those loyal fan base, those loyal fans again, because they end up jumping ship and going to another network. Now, me, I can't. I haven't watched. I've banned all Disney in my house. I have banned ABC. I put it on block. I tried to get it off my table. That's how mad I am with this network. I don't watch anything ABC prime time, daytime, nothing. My kids were very upset when I put a band on the Disney Channel in my house. Okay.
Oh my
I'm telling
God.
You, I blocked it. I'm very serious. I've been supporting this show. This is something I used to do with my kids. My girls, they used to watch before all of this crap that happened, this 180 that they've done on these shows. I used to sit there and watch it with my daughters. And I have a 17-year-old and a 15-year-old. I used to watch this with my daughters. This is how it was handed down to me. I was going to hand it down to my kids. I can't do that because everything is on there is freezing. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
My kids don't have to watch. I teach them about sex education. I don't need them to go sitting in front of the damn screen and there it is.
I get what you're saying. Exactly. Even way back then, you know, the way the show was, like in, you know, the peak writing days, they were teaching you something. I mean, what are they teaching you now?
Nothing.
I mean,
they're not teaching. Well, can I say something? What they are teaching now to me is they're not teaching young women, young impressionable women, how to be strong women without benefit of a man. They are teaching to me, young women, how to use their bodies, sex up their body, and other things that a young woman shouldn't be doing at a certain age. So to me, they're not, in this day and age, they're not teaching a young woman anything. I have a 7-year-old daughter that was watching the General Hospital with me at one time, and then when I finally threw my hands up and gave up on watching it, she understood my reasons without me having to explain it. She was standing there and telling me, I just don't recognize who Elizabeth is. I don't recognize who Katie is. I don't recognize who Sonny is. I used to like Sonny. I don't like him anymore.
Exactly.
This is coming from a 7-year-old child.
A 7-year-old little girl.
And I want to go back. I want to go back to the Allen thing that I mentioned and what you said. It's been done that. Not particularly. It hasn't been done that with Allen. But the thing about it is,
No.
I
it's been done with other characters. It's been done with other characters. That's what I said.
Okay. Okay. I stand corrected. However, why would you fire a popular character as Allen Quatermain? And I don't care what the younger genre coming in or whatever, Allen Quatermain, or should I say
the whole Quatermain makeup. Right, I get what you're saying. You don't care because you're a fan. We're talking about the guys that are running the show. See, that's two completely different things.
I care because I'm a fan.
But you asked the question. You asked the question, why would you get rid of Allen Quatermain, right? You're saying that as a fan, okay? It doesn't make sense to you as a fan. Well, on the flip side, you have to kind of get into the heads of the guys that are running the show. They wanted him out to put someone else in, one of those young guys. If you notice, all the alumni at General Hospital, these guys are getting phased out. And they're throwing in the Spinellis and the Maxis and the Lulus.
Okay, will you knock off about that?
No, I didn't say anything.
But tonight that you come on here, all you do is go out to Spinelli and get you sick of it.
Wait.
Calm down.
Wait. I didn't say anything bad about it. I'm just saying this is...
No. Oh, my God, they brought in new people. You know, when Stu Damon left, I thought it was wrong. I still think it's wrong that they have phased out the Quatermains. Okay? I still think it's wrong that they have phased out a lot of the people. You know? And they're, you know what? I don't mind.
We're trying to get to the root of the problem here. I mean, but it's like, if you're not willing to address that, I mean, we're not going to get anywhere.
What is your opinion is of what the root of the problem is?
I think it's not just one thing. I think it's a combination of things. I think it's mostly the writing, but I think it's also partly the cast and also partly a sign of the times. Okay, now we can have excellent writing. Now look, the writing that's going on the show now, I'm not a fan, so I'm not going to sit here and tell you guys, you know, about General House, because you guys know a lot more than I do, but from what I've seen, okay, I think that if you were to implement excellent writing, there's only so much that certain actors on that show can do with that writing. You get what I'm saying?
I agree.
So it's like, you can have a writing that an actor can, you know, they can take that script and they can do something with it. But if you write, if you write a character to act a certain way, you know, there's a character development over time where, you know, you see that actor mature. If that actor can't pull that off believably or even good, then, I mean, what's the point? so
well,
then
let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. There are storylines on there in the past, let's say back in 2007 and some parts of 2008. There are characters still in place and some that they have gotten rid of that could have pulled off a certain storyline or a certain act in a storyline. But, however, when those characters were in place and with that writing that they had in place, they were not able to do it. They were not given the opportunity to do it.
Give me an example.
To me, when Brandon Barish came on the show as Johnny Zaccaro, or let me go back to Sarah Joy Brown. When they brought her on this show, what was the premise of them bringing her on? She was supposed to be a woman who was supposed to be up there with Sonny and Jason. They took that character to that point, and then all of a sudden, they dismantled that. They just dismantled the whole setup that they had.
How did they dismantle
They made her weak.
Let her talk.
How? Oh, okay.
No.
Not Carly. Not Carly.
Exactly.
Not Carly. Not.
We're talking about Claudia Zaccaro.
Yeah. How did they?
When she first came on, she was a strong woman.
Thank you.
She was a strong woman, monster woman who could hold her own against Jason and Sonny. Then they turned around and made the character, they stripped her down and made her weak. Because if Claudia Zaccaro, the way she was when she first came on, would have never put up with half the crap that she put up with when she was married to Sonny. I'm sorry. She's not some whiny, weak woman. She came on as a strong character, because I know that Sarah Brown can do the job.
I would say this. I wasn't watching completely from what I got. I get what you're saying. She did kind of lose it a little bit, but she didn't really lose it that much. If you just follow the story and look, bottom line, what they try to do, they try to get nostalgic and they try to go back to the, you know, Sonny Carly, Sarah Brown, Maurice Bernard days back in the day, which they had, you know, they reenacted the scenes where she fell down the stairs, this, that, and the other, and they were just trying to be nostalgic, and they messed up. They shouldn't have done that. That's the first thing. The second thing is, yes, I agree with you. She did kind of lose some of her strength there, but not that much, though. Now, if you follow this, now, you can't, you had the storyline where she was, you know, she was independent, she was, you know, a rival gangster, et cetera, et cetera. But how long can that really go on, really?
Faith Ruffo.
You say what? Say that again. Who's that?
Faith Ruffo.
Yes.
Now that's a good actress.
Yes.
Yes.
Now when she came on, they didn't even try touching her, because she was strong character from start to finish.
Thank you. She was.
She went out with a blaze of glory. Come on now.
Yeah.
What they're doing to the women on the show.
That's fine. You can show a strong character, but she also had kind of a soft side, too. Like when she was with, what's that guy's name?
Rick.
No, the other
Justice?
Guy. Wasn't she with? Yeah,
Justice.
She was with him. I mean, just because, you know, you get a character, a strong character like that to open up a little bit, I mean, that doesn't mean that they've lost their strength. I mean, I don't think that Sarah Joy Brown lost her strength, even when, you know, I saw those final scenes where she basically got busted by Sonny in that that party or whatever. I mean, she didn't, like, completely break down. You know, she was like, okay, you know, she kind of still held her own, and she proved that, you know, she's not weak. I mean, come on, we got to give her a little credit about that. But one thing I want to say about Sarah Joy Brown is that, you know, I think she's a good actress. But when you talk about Carly, right, and people were talking about that she was going to come back at Carly as Carly, I really don't think that the way that the Carly character has evolved now, Sarah Joy Brown can't do what Laura White does now, and vice versa. These guys, they're two completely different characters. And that's the same, and I think that's the same problem with the Lucky actor right now. It's like these guys are two completely different people. And I think that's what's kind of throwing people off. So I think bottom line is these guys, they have to be careful with their casting and be careful how they're writing characters. And listen to the fans, man. I mean, these guys, I mean, the fans know what's going to fly. You can have all your flow charts. You can have all your, you can look at, you know, your profit margins and, you know, see, you know, what's in the now as far as, you know, the younger generation. But if you go for the hardcore GH fans like you guys, man, I mean, you can't fail.
Well, let me ask you this, Jay. Let me ask you this, Jay. You said that they have their flow charts, they have their numbers, they even have their demographic numbers in front of them. Yet and still, we are still
good.
Mediocre.
Let me tell you why. It's a very simple thing, very simple thing. We have businessmen making creative decisions, okay? Back during the golden age of General Hospitals, which I keep referring to it, the people that were in charge of that show were not completely businessmen. They were creative minds. Same with Hollywood. Back during the golden age of cinema, you didn't have guys, you know, who thought of things, okay, we have to make money, we have to make money. No, they thought of it, okay, we have to make money by making quality stuff. So, listen, you're absolutely valid with your assessment, like why things aren't, you know, turning out the way they are. It's just these guys, they're so left-brained, okay, that they look at a situation like entertainment and they say, how can we create a formula for making money through entertainment, through films, etc.? And they just, they don't understand the concept of no sure things, no absolutes. For them, it's like A plus B has to equal C. There has to be a formula for making money through this television show. So what
they
do
they
is...
They were making money before all of these They were making money. They were steadily making money. They were steadily in the ratings. However, then there became a 180-degree turn, and you know exactly who I am speaking of, because he has taken three, count them, three soaps from ABC, and look at them now.
No, well, that's what I'm saying. That's what That's what I'm saying. These guys, they don't
It's fine to bring in the soup, but you do not take the main ingredient. And the main ingredients for all three of these soaps are their long-time loyal viewers who know that you cannot pull anything over on their eyes because they
but
know their history.
I get what you're saying. But see, they're also trying to phase people like you out, because what they're trying to do, they're trying to make it predictable that it will always turn out the way they want it to. So what they do is they try to market to that audience that they can fully control. If you can create a dumb audience, you got to see this is what you got to take yourself out of the fan. No, wait. You have to take yourself out of the fan's shoes and put yourself in the guy that, you know, the businessman type guy.
Why can't it be a woman?
Yeah.
Okay, woman. Fine. I'm sorry. Women. Let's put a woman. Put yourself in her heels, okay? Okay? You're sitting at that desk. You're looking at, you know, all of these things. You're like, wait a minute. I can actually control how this show turns out. Now, I mean, it's wrong in my opinion. Now, I think that, you know, you guys were there first. They should cater to you. And in my opinion, if you satisfy the hardcore guys, everyone else will follow suit.
Exactly.
Thing that you have said so far.
I mean, if you just said that, and that was the best thing you could say and never talk again, oh, my God, that would be priceless.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. these guys don't know what they're doing. They're just applying that business-like mentality, the guys, you know, that went to Harvard and Princeton and all that stuff, and they don't understand the concept of no sure things. That's basically what it is. The creative minds are being
faced. Let me ask you this, Jay. When will it be time for them to wake up and smell the coffee that their business sense mentality right now is not working? They're
I'll tell you,
almighty dollars because of this so-called business mentality.
I'll tell you when that's going to happen. Basically, everything has to be, no, this is not good news, but honestly, everything has to completely collapse. I mean, the infrastructure has to completely collapse for things to get better. And if you look at the music industry, you look at the movie industry, guys, things need to completely, like, just go to waste before anything gets better. Because, to be honest, it's like, I mean, you can protest and protest and protest, but, it's proven now that these guys don't listen to you, right? So what's going to happen is, you know, these guys are going to have to they're going to have to leave, and then they're going to have to, you know, get some new guys to come in and rebuild it from scratch. That's the way it's going to go. Because if you look at the music industry now, especially rap is completely dead now. So hopefully things will get better. But rap, when you're talking about music and the rap genre, it's finished. It's dead. So hopefully over the next 2 to 3 years, you know, you'll get, you know, some artists out there that will emerge and, you know, bring rap back. So, but as far as bringing, you know, this daytime soap opera General Hospital thing back, I mean, honestly, it's going to have to completely collapse. And from what I'm hearing from you guys, I don't think it's far off.
We are not going to just walk away and give up, Jay.
It's actually, honestly, with the longest running daytime show got canceled, and then the second longest running daytime show got canceled, is now in the middle of cancellation. That right there is enough.
Yeah.
To shock the whole daytime industry into actually doing something. I mean, you know what? There's enough bad stuff going on the damn news. There's enough bad stuff happening around the world. But people watch soaps to escape. From the real world.
Movies, exactly.
And right now, that's what they watch. That's what they watch cable news and cable shows. Okay, hold on one second.
Okay, go ahead.
The thing is that the person on the show, the person running this network right now, he has managed to insert his creative ideas with people can be trained to like whatever he likes, and it's to hell with everybody else. And I'm sorry, that doesn't fly. He has managed to single-handedly take the resoaps and tank them all.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
exactly.
we have right now, As the World Turns, has been on the longest, 46 years, I believe.
General
Hospital
is 46 years too.
Okay, General Hospital is 46 years. Okay, so the second long.
Okay.
Yeah, because once As the World Turn goes off, General Hospital will be the longest running show now. But if you notice, As the World Turn has turned completely around. Days of Our Lives.
To do that, though? Do you really know what it takes to turn a show completely around like that?
You know what? I understand from the beginning, a lot of money. I know. I understand that. But right now, the fans are the ones that are helping support that show, that's supporting that damn network. Right now, ABC is losing in its primetime ratings and its daytime ratings. Fans are disbanding all of it. I don't think they realize that daytime fans are also primetime fans. If they leave daytime, they're going to leave primetime. Let's see, you got, besides the bad press that ABC is getting right now, I mean, they're getting hit from all sides.
Why are they?
Nothing's working.
No.
They're getting hit from all sides. What, the Adam Lambert thing,
yeah.
Where, okay, the Grammy Awards, what he did on the Grammy Awards, they were afraid that he was going to, they said, according to Jill Ferrer and Phelps, there were, 1,500 calls made there. Do you know how many calls daytime fans have made?
1,500 calls got that poor boy pulled off of Good Morning America. But he went on to, he got picked up by CBS, and their ratings went through the roof with that boy, with the press behind him and all that good, you know, all that good, all they want is good buzz. Like ABC with their promos. I mean, come on now. Fans are not interested in this shoot 'em up. Look, I love the mob as much as the next person. But right now, we got more mob than we have hospital. General Hospital, it's supposed to be somewhere in here, there's supposed to be a hospital in it. And as long as they keep focusing in on this, fans aren't going to wonder. They right now are across the net. I think, look, you know what, honestly,
there's
no balance.
Showing the mob and the hospital as combined. Because
dang
the title was General Hospital. It was not Mob Central.
Mm-hmm.
It was not the Sonny and Jason show. It was not Shoot 'em Up, Bang Bang. It
mm-hmm.
is General Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know what?
For me, just primarily focus on the hospital, and all these other little entities around it should be focused around that as additional pieces.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying do away with the mob. I'm not saying
right.
that because if you do away with the mob, you're doing away with your two main lead characters.
Exactly.
And I for one, I love them both.
Well, look.
Thank you. I'm glad you said that.
Money. You want to talk about money, but you can still tie certain things in that show to make it all work, to make it all believable. And then you said, I understand how much money it takes to turn things around, but wouldn't you rather turn things around than actually lose the show altogether?
Yep.
Of course. But, you know, I've seen the show recently. Like, you know, I don't watch it constantly, but like you said about, you know, having a balance between the mob and the hospital, I mean, I fully agree. That's how it was, you know, back when it was really good. But, I mean, think about if they did that now. I mean, it's like they've painted themselves in the corner. I can't watch. Look, case in point, I watched one episode on YouTube last week. Every time I saw those guys in scrubs, okay, I couldn't watch it. I couldn't. I mean, the silly scenarios, the medical rhetoric that's tossed around in an unbelievable way. I mean, it's just insulting. The show has just become insulting now. I look at Sonny, and the guy's just silly. I mean, it's like he's a silly godfather. I mean, I mean, it's like some of the things that he says, it's like, man, the Sonny back then, you know, when he was, you know, up and coming in the neighborhood, he would never have said anything like this. I mean,
why is that?
You said what?
And why is that?
Why is what? Why is he turning into a joke? It's the writing.
Okay.
It's the writing.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to
call on it's the writing. But who spearheads the writing?
I don't know. You guys can tell me that.
You guys, we have another phone call. So, Jay, I'm going to have to mute you and take
what?
This at the... Yeah.
All right. Pleasure talking to you guys then. Later.
Bye. Hello? You on the air? Hello? Hello? You on the air?
Hear me?
Yes. Who is this?
Okay. Hi. I, you know, was just listening to, I think his name is Jay.
Oh.
And I wanted to kind of address some of the points.
Oh, please do.
Because I find it, you know, and I wish that he was on, you know, at the same time. What I want to understand.
Wait. Hold on. Jay, are you still there?
I'm sorry.
Yep.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Okay. Hi.
Yeah,
hi.
Dave,
hey,
you're on.
How's it going?
Hi, Dave. This is Dee. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Okay. I just wanted to address some of the points that you were making because it was very, very interesting to me. I mean, I understand that they want to gear the show to a younger audience. I mean, this is what's going on in society as a whole. I mean, if you look at movies,
exactly.
if you look at music,
yep.
if you look at corporations, you know. However, what I find ironic is that the majority of the population is over the age of 40.
True.
So where's the market? And that's what I don't understand. I mean, where I can see everybody likes to look at, you know, pretty young blondes, you know, and hot-looking young guys, but ultimately, the fans of all of these shows that are geared supposedly to a younger audience turn out to be people who are over the age of 35.
Right, but see, I get what you're saying. But see, the people that are over 35 and 40, they're not predictable. Now, this goes back to going back to thinking about it as a business. You're a businessman.
Right.
Who can you easily influence now? The younger generation.
So that's what I was going to say. Easily influence. It's easy to influence a 25-year-old, but at the same time, if the numbers aren't there, if the market isn't big enough, then you're really shooting yourself in the foot, aren't you? Because,
yes.
you know, if you're thinking about making things predictable so that you can control it, you can control, you know, how much money you make or you don't make, the bottom line from where, mm-hmm. from my point of view, and I'm under 40, okay, hell, I'm under 35, mm-hmm. what I don't understand is they're catering to an audience that doesn't have the same buying power and doesn't really have the same loyalty that I see in the viewers. And
have
so,
you, I'm
yes.
sorry, have you seen Twilight, the movie?
I adore Twilight, yes.
Okay. Do you know how many fans, young girls, follow every actor in that movie around?
Can I say something about that?
Go ahead.
There are many young girls that follow Twilight. There are also many women.
Millions. Right, exactly.
That are over the age of 35, that are over the age of 30, some who
right.
are over the age of 50. I was there, okay, when they had their premiere. And
right.
there were many women there who were not accompanied by a 12-year-old.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So what they have to understand is you have to look at society, you have to look at the population, you have to look at what's going on here, and what's going on is the majority of the people out there are not 25.
Right.
Now, okay, let's put everything aside for a second because, hey, everybody's got to make money, right? This is how the world goes. This is how it is. We all have to make it predictable. But I find it insulting that they would take a show, and not just with the show, I mean a lot of other shows, and dumb it down to the point where it's just ridiculous and it's
exactly.
embarrassing. I don't even watch this. You know, I used to watch this, you know, maybe when I was in college, and I really don't watch it that much anymore. However,
right.
and I don't have time to watch soaps, but I see it in other shows. I mean, you know, I'm watching Jersey Shore on
That's
MTV.
Exactly what I was about to ask you.
And, you know, I'm watching
Even
Jersey Shore, and this is the best thing since sliced bread. Meanwhile, a lot of people who are watching that show are adults, okay, and they're laughing at it, and they think it's funny. And the kids
and
who
also,
watch it, you know. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Do you notice that the proper shows that are coming out get the least amount of play on television as far as promotion?
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
I said, do you notice that the proper shows that are out now that have come and gone get the least amount of play and promotion on television?
What do you mean by proper shows?
Yeah.
Have you seen, like, with proper acting, the best writing?
Oh, okay.
Seen?
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Have
no,
you,
I understand what you're saying. Okay. Yeah, they do because, I mean, it's not, it's you know, I understand because it's not going to be pushed as much because nobody wants to watch two 40-year-olds kissing each other. Everybody wants to watch Edward and Bella rolling around in the meadow, you know, because they're 17 or, you know, 35 or whatever they are in real life. Hey, I've got nothing against that, you know. But you know what? They've got to cut people some slack a little bit and try and understand that if they put the writing out there and if they make the stories interesting and if they follow some kind of coherent storyline, it's going to bring in both older and younger viewers. Because
right.
what we're hearing is, you know, that parents would watch this with their kids. And I remember growing up, you know, my mom was watching, you know, I don't know, Days of Our Lives. And she, you know, I'd watch it with her. You know, my mother was in, I guess, in her 30s or whatever, and I would watch it with her. So, okay, you cannot train people This is what the problem is in this country as a whole. You cannot predict what's going to happen.
Exactly.
I mean, look at the last 3 years in terms of the economy. Look at what happened. I mean, the whole country collapsed. The whole economy collapsed. And now, you know, it's really, I feel there's a lot of, I mean, there's ageism. I think there's discrimination. I also feel insulted by the way women are portrayed.
Time.
You know.
Big time.
Go ahead.
No, I agree. I agree completely.
I just feel that maybe they should think twice before they sit down and their business plan is geared toward, we need to make sure that we're going to hook these people in and that they're going to do exactly what we want us to, what we want them to do so that we can get what we want. It doesn't work that way. Never has, never will. So you're right, it's going to collapse. It's in the middle of collapsing, I think, because from what I've been hearing and reading, it's awful, you know. But, you know, I don't know what else to say about it. I do find it very interesting what you're saying. I agree with a lot of the points, but what I don't agree with is that you have these businessmen who are really ignoring what's going on out there and are not really, it's not good business.
And you know what? The most, you know what all these shows have in common? They think sex sells.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And it just, sex does not
it
sell.
It doesn't.
Sex
it does not
sell.
Mm-hmm. People don't want to see sex. If they wanted that, they would get they rent a porno and watch that, or either go out and have some. I'm sorry, I do not tune in for that. Y&R, who has been top dog for 20 years, they incorporate their whole entire cast. It's based mostly on families. Hello, families sticking together, families working through issues. I don't know where the families have gone on General Hospital. They're focusing
also on corporate intrigue, in mystery, something that captures our attention, something that turns us off.
Now,
one of the reasons I stopped watching was how they dumbed down women, and that alone is what turned me off. Every woman on pretty much all of these ABC shows have been dumbed down. Even they're trying to dumb down the veteran women. Like the Erica Slazek, even Susan Lucci has kind of like been dumbed down.
Yeah, it's insulting. You know what? Stop insulting. You know what? In this latest article by Franz in Soap Opera Digest, where do you see? I don't see any one of the women. All the women on these shows are weak.
Yes.
They used to be the powerhouse. They used to be the powerhouse of these families that held everything together. Hey, they had their breakdowns, but they got up, they pulled it together, they worked hard, and they survived for their families, for their children. You don't see that no more. All of these women are either, let's see, you got too many women running around in their underwear. I'm sorry, I don't need to see that. If that was the case, then I'd go look at my own self in the mirror. You know what? I mean, half of the women on there are shows. You got women acting like strippers. Then you got stripper outfits. I mean, come on now.
Well, I'm sorry.
Kelly, hold on 1 second. Mm-hmm. When Kelly Monaco did her little peep show, I'm sorry. You do not incorporate, because that right there, that peep show, was not empowering to women. Sorry. It wasn't empowering to me. Do you know how much backlash they caused from that? And then they had to try to incorporate that into the show. I'm sorry. I don't want to see this woman in her peep show outfit trying to trance around there. Oh, and getting caught. Oh, let's see. You fall out of the sky into a man's hands in your underwear. I'm sorry. No. That's just stupid.
Yeah.
I don't need to see that. They are too focused on sex on these shows than they are on actually writing them. You know what? I'm not even going to put all the blame on all the writers, because you know what? If certain corporate people would stay out of the creative writing process for the head writers, we wouldn't have the mess that we are in now.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you notice if that were to happen, a lot of these actors would be phased out. All these people like Megan Fox, they wouldn't get any roles if that were to happen. I agree completely.
Yeah.
Kelly Monaco,
you know what?
Would not be on that show. She wouldn't.
She shouldn't be on the show.
I just wanted to say something, and then I got to go because I have to go watch Twilight. I really just want to say that, you know, I understand where everybody's coming from. However, one thing I disagree with is that, unfortunately, sex does sell, okay? And that's something we all do have to face. Now, I've always had this theory that I thought that the only way that the genre was going to survive was if it moved on to, you know, a cable network such as SoapNet, and it was, you know, shown it in the evenings, and it became a little racier because I thought it was getting stale. I do think sex sells. I think if it's done correctly, I think if it's done tastefully, but I'm not.
It'll be
seeing,
okay. Right. Right.
You know,
it'll be okay.
I don't see that here. I see, you know, women running around in their underwear. I have nothing against women running around in stripper shoes and underwear. Seriously,
me
I don't.
Me either.
However,
that's only
however,
in a love scene or something.
But there's some. But you know what? At the same time, there's ways to do that that
right.
would be, in a way. You know, kind of, you know, more appealing to everybody. And even women in their 20s are turned off by that sort of thing. And so, you know, going back to Jersey Shore, we have these women, these girls who are being portrayed as total idiots with breast implants. I mean, it's just, you know, I know girls in their 20s who watch that show and laugh at them and say that they're idiots. I mean, it's okay, you know, bottom line, I'm just going to say this, they don't know what the hell they're doing. They're ruining a lot of things. These are a bunch of men who are sitting around basically trying to control something that they can't control. And
yeah.
you're absolutely right, Jay, when you say that the whole thing has to collapse before it gets better. Unfortunately, from where I'm sitting, I think if it does collapse, I'm not sure it's ever going to rebuild.
It won't recover.
I don't think it's going to happen again. And that's
right.
what I'm seeing on this, and that's what I'm seeing also in the movies, where I'm seeing a lot of, you know, younger actors being brought in and older actors
right.
not working as much.
Well, see,
you
with,
know.
Right, with the movies, it can go one of two ways. It either can collapse and then rebuild, or what's happening now is people are starting to get an alternative. Like you see independent filmmakers putting their stuff
mm-hmm.
on YouTube, and guys are following them around big time.
Yeah.
Like some of the guys that, like I know guys that made independent films overseas, these guys are actually, like Hollywood is actually looking at them now. To make future projects.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if guys were to be given an alternative to this stuff, then you'll start to see, okay, wait a minute, you know, people are actually going elsewhere. Let's see what we can do. So that's the other way it could go.
Well,
but,
yeah, and I agree with that completely. I just wanted to come on and sort of kind of disagree and agree with you at the same time, but, you know, also just to tell everybody that I think that, you know, we can kind of compare the cultural situation in this country to the economic situation in this country is that nobody really knows what the hell they're doing. And
yeah.
as we had an economic collapse, unfortunately, we're going to have some type of cultural, you know, not collapse, but maybe a restructuring, because I really do think that Not everybody stays 25. People grow up, and the majority of people in this country are not 25, so the numbers are not there. And that's what astounds me, is that they don't sit there and see it.
Mm-hmm.
The ratings, the numbers, you know, I mean, if your ratings aren't that good, that means, you know, you don't have that many people out there buying products that your sponsors are pushing on your show. I mean, so I don't get it. I get it, but I don't get it.
Right.
So, you know, it's just, somebody kind of needs to go in there and say, hey, enough with the trying to control people and just make people happy. Okay.
Yeah, honestly, that's what I think too. But like I said, the corporate, the people who actually see, now like, okay, I don't. Franz, he sticks his nose in everything. He's got his hand, instead of running, Brian Franz, he's the daytime president of ABC. If he wasn't trying to stick his hands in everything that happens, he's supposed to be managing the daytime network instead of sticking his hands in each one of these shows. And if you've noticed, as soon as he did that, the ratings collapsed.
And all hell broke loose.
I'm just saying.
It's one guy.
One guy.
Yeah.
That one guy, network president, yep, he has a woman boss, too. He sticks his hand, he's stuck his hand in every one of, he's done into the creative processing, the story writing. I mean, this man has stuck his hands in there, he's looking over their shoulders. Instead of letting them do what they do to keep the fans happy, he's stuck his hand in, he's telling them, this is what you need to do, this is what you need to write, this is what I want to see. And when that comes out on screen, people are not happy. People leave.
We are not happy.
I have no problem with sex. Honestly, I do. I'm telling you, there's nothing. I don't need to see this woman. I don't need to see these women running around in their underwear. I'm sorry, I don't. I really don't. I watch soaps to escape reality. I watch them to enjoy that. They can have girls running around in their underwear in a love scene. Come on now. But not an everyday thing. You do not have to keep a woman in her underwear all the time. I'm sorry. That's what the girl on One Life to Live. That had that girl half naked all every day. I'm sorry. That's a big turn off. I'm sorry. Even the men were turned off on that. I'm sorry. I want to see families working together. I want to see love. I want to see romance. I mean, back in the day, we'll see Monica and Alan through all their mini breakups, through their marriages. I was still intrigued by that couple.
Look, man,
there's not one rootable.
I think what you guys need to do is, listen, when they have these, do they hold, like, conventions and all that stuff with the actors?
Oh, you mean Sand Club Weekend? Yes.
Yes, yes.
Okay,
yes.
You guys need to go. I mean, I'm not a fan, so I'm not going to say I'm going to, I would do that. But if I were you guys, because you guys are fans, I mean, I'd go there, get the mic, and then just talk straight. Talk straight.
Oh, we have.
We haven't.
Well, hold on a second.
You know what? Honestly, we've talked, we've posted, we've called, we wrote comment letters, everything. Short of going to Prospect Place and picketing in that damn place, I doubt they're gonna listen because Mon has his own personal agenda going on, and right now it's killing all three soaps. Right now, AB's All My Children is the only soap that's climbing. General Hospital is staying where it is and getting closer to the bottom.
Hmm.
As the World Turns, which is a soap opera that's about to be canceled, it's beating General Hospital.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think that, a lot of it is are great points, but, as I've been saying or as I've been thinking while listening, is that if they're not going to listen, then maybe people should just stop talking and stop watching.
Exactly.
Because that's the way you're going to get their attention is by doing that. Because once you turn off that TV and once you stop talking about it, once it doesn't become news, then they will get scared. Because then they have, who are they selling the show to? They're going to have, I think that's what's happening with the ratings. I think a lot of people have turned it off and decided, they don't want to deal with it anymore. But there's enough talk on the net that will give them the idea that there is, still this possibility of being able to create this predictable audience, when in reality it's just not going to happen. So I think that my advice to everyone is, if you really don't like it, if you really, with anything, and not just soap operas, I mean, just if you don't like it, don't watch it.
Don't,
if you feel angry about it, don't have anything to do with it. Put it out of your mind or write a letter.
What's your name? I love you. Who are you?
Oh,
hi. Because see, the green was everything you say they do, wants to.
My name or?
Yes, your name.
Hi. Yeah, I'm Dee. Hi.
Okay.
I love you too, by the way. You sound really nice. Yeah.
Talking about
Everybody's made good. Go ahead, Chris.
You are saying that we should stop talking about it, we should stop writing about it. With my letter writing campaign and as well as other campaigns such as SOS, so are you you're saying we should just stop, cease all things that we have been doing to this point?
Well, no, wait. There's always going to be a grassroots, you know, involvement. There's always going to be some. I'm not saying that you should stop your efforts. If you're dedicated to it, then by all means you need to continue doing what you're doing. But what I'm saying is just that if you really want to get them where it hurts, you need to just turn it off and get them in the pocketbook, because that's the only way it's going to happen.
Exactly.
And that's the only way that they're going to change. So nobody's saying that you need to give it up and walk away. What I'm saying is that you just need to turn it off until they realize that they need to cater to you and they need to come and get you rather than you having
exactly.
to beg them. So right. that's really what this is all about, is that, you know, they have everybody in a tizzy, you know, because, and they love that. They love fans fighting over couples, and they love that. They love to read that because it creates the illusion that they actually have an audience out there. Well, guess what? I think that, you know, if people just did their thing and, you know, sent in their letters, but at the same time, you know, really didn't make such a big deal out of it, and Cece, please, I love your letters. I really do. I think they're wonderful, and I think that you're doing a great thing and that you're bringing a lot of issues out there, and I think it's important. However, the way to get back at these, and I'm going to use a polite word, at these people, is to just not watch it or not talk about it as much, or just, you know, just hit them where it hurts, and that's it, and that will bring results. And, you know, I think that goes for a lot of things in society, not just this show. And just one more thing. I mean, you know, we don't like – one thing I don't understand is, maybe you can answer me, Jay, they have women running around in their underwear. You know, on soap operas, the target audience is female. Why aren't the men running around in their underwear? Because personally, that's what I would like to look at, not so much women running around half naked, because I don't really know that many men who watch soap operas, aside from maybe some college students, you know, and even they don't. So
right.
That makes that shows how completely irrational they are, because really what you should be seeing is half naked men and not half naked women,
true.
Or maybe half naked men and women. You know, it just seems to me that they have their priorities a little mixed up. But as for fans, I think the fans should just, you know, let them have it and just turn it off.
Honestly, we did do that.
The whole
entire liaison families. You
mm-hmm.
should see what they're doing to get us to engage in this fan-based war, but we're not kidding. We just ignore them. The other side of the fan base. Okay, everybody has a fan base.
Yes.
But the biggest one that's caused, I mean, you know, created a lot of buzz for General Hospital has been Liaison versus JSAM.
Yes.
Unfortunately, Lizanne fans got fed up, they got tired, they didn't want to hear anymore, so we stopped engaging. It took, let's see, we have the magazines trying to promote it to get us to fight them. We have, like, SoapNet. Now, SoapNet, when it first came on, was good because it showed all the canceled shows. Now they're tuning in to like, freaking dating shows, reality TV, I'm sorry, I don't need to see that, honestly. SoapNet is supposed to run soaps. Or, they have, you know what, I watched 90210 when I was a kid. When I was a teenager, I watched that show. I can see they rerun it for, you know, the hook on younger generations. But to constantly run it is not good, and not run enough of the soaps, you're going to lose business on that. If you're not, you should change the name then. It shouldn't be SoapNet. It should just be like some sort of regular, you know, cable show. I got so fed up with them that I can't, like I said, I put a ban on Disney in my house, a ban on ABC. I put a block on ABC in my house, so I don't watch anything ABC. There's nothing Disney comes through my house. I've taken SoapNet off my cable package because I was pissed, and I let them know this.
And when I talk on the net, I'm on Twitter. If I want to see General Hospital, I will not watch it live. I will watch clips on YouTube. That's it. I won't sit there and do all that. I'm a good fan. I support my couple. I vote in the polls. But other than that, I got really much, not much to say to the higher ups, because when they did that ABC thing, it was a joke. And you know, the ABC Insider Board, they did that, it was a joke. All it was a place for people to get their frustrations out and then to compile data and then use it against us. That was all I got out of there.
Okay,
and when,
well, I'm going to go, guys, but it's been great talking to you. And, you know, like I said, I have to go finish watching Twilight. So I'm going to go ahead and bow out. But it was great talking to you. And it was great talking to you too, Jay. And hopefully, you know, maybe somebody's listening that, you know, can make a difference will understand some of the things that we've been talking about.
Cool.
Okay.
Later, Dave.
Give us a call back in the show.
Oh, I sure will. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank
bye.
You.
All right. Bye. All right. Well, I pretty much said everything that I wanted to say today, and I love Christie's letters, Cece's letters, which I'm so glad that Garrett Godwin prints them for us in the Examiner. I'm involved in the SOS campaign. I do what I have to do on Twitter. I post on the boards, but it's really hard to find some sort of bright spot in any of these soaps, any of the ATC soaps. I watch right now, currently, for over a year, I've been more involved in CBS soaps, which are, 10,000 times better than what's going on. I'm listening. I watch Days of Our Lives for close to 18 years before I turned it off. And I turned it off for a couple. I waited 14 years for, Lucas and Sammy to get married.
Yeah,
and when they broke them up, I said goodbye, because I didn't like the storyline.
Look, I definitely hope that things get better for you guys in the soap opera genre. I'm definitely suffering, you know, with my fanship, with, you know, the comic book movie lore. I mean, they're just destroying everything. They don't listen to us either. So, I mean, hopefully this industry will turn around and we can start getting some creative minds back in there. But, I mean, like Dee said, you know, until people stop supporting this crap, I mean, things aren't going to change. I mean, go ahead.
The ratings aren't holding for these people. Right now, let's see, all the soaps that went up the last 2 weeks, they've been up. The only reason they went up was because of the bad weather. If you ain't got no bad weather, they don't have no good ratings.
Jay, are you still there?
It's like we're
they still here.
You made a good point about us possibly as fans going to some of these events. The problem with that is these events are mostly held for the fans to for the actors and the actresses to give appreciation for our viewership.
Right.
Now, you saying that we should take all of our heartfelt
money?
Reasons. Yeah, we do pay money for reasoning.
I mean,
I get what you're saying. It's the same with me as well. Like, when I go to Comic-Con events and all that stuff, it's kind of like an insulated thing. They kind of shut you out because, I don't know how it is with you guys, but with us, they will edit out questions that go against what they want. Like, prime example, there was like a big release that came out last year. You know, it was like me and 10 of my buddies, we were grilling the director up there. I mean, this guy was on edge. We didn't see any of that was released to the fans. So, I mean, it is kind of like a bubble. I don't know how it is with, you know, with what you guys do. I don't know if they actually record it and, like, post it somewhere. But if enough people, you know, if you guys can get enough people, and from what I'm listening to you guys, the general consensus, at least half of you guys don't like what you're getting. I mean, they have no choice. I mean, just go there full force. Don't sugarcoat. And here's my thing. Even if you, let's say this show gets back to being great, right? Still, as a fan, the smart thing would be just, I mean, don't keep these guys on their toes. Don't let them know that you love the show. Like, Christopher Nolan's like one of my best, he's like one of like my top 10 directors, okay? But I'm not going to sit there and kiss his butt at some convention. I'm still going to ask him tough questions because I don't want the guy to get comfortable. Most of the directors in Hollywood that have fallen off the wagon, they got comfortable. I mean, seriously, look at the writers on this show. Tell me that some of these guys aren't lazy. I mean, it's laziness.
Yep.
They want to make the most money for the least amount of work. But if you look at some, you know, General Hospital back then, the 97, when I was watching it, when I was like a kid, I mean, I know that these guys worked hard. So, I mean, I don't know. I think it just comes down to laziness. It's just these guys are lazy.
Yeah, a lot of people, I mean, younger actors should be learning from the vet actors on how to do things. But if they didn't know vet actors there and people aren't relating to the younger actors, I mean, the way that they introduce the younger actors, they bring them in, plaster them on the, overexpose them.
Right, exactly.
And then pull back. By that time, we're hating them.
But do you know why we're they do that, though? Do you know why they do that? So they can fully control those young actors. Because if you get a young actor that basically comes under the wing of a great actor, right, and becomes a great actor themselves, those businessmen can't control those young actors. See, you want guys that you can fully control in your industry if you're an executive. See, that's the thing of going back talking about business now. You don't want a young actor that knows what he's doing. You want to fill your industry with people like Megan Fox because you can completely control them.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. It's not just, I mean, there are so many different angles to this thing that you have to kind of look at because, I mean, I agree with you fully. I mean, these guys should be learning from the best of the best so that we can keep getting, you know, good stuff. But, you know, like I said, businessmen, they run Hollywood now. And they're playing this thing. You can hate it as much as you want. They're playing this thing exactly the way they want it. They want it to be predictable. They don't want to take any risks with any movies, with any TV show, nothing. They want to predict exactly how much they're going to make.
What they're trying to do, they are actually trying to put it in Franz's words, they're trying to train people to like and love what's on screen. But see, that takes away the choice of the viewer.
Right, but see, when you're doing something like, right, but when you're doing something like that, I mean, they don't care. They don't care if they're taking away your choice. They don't care about that. That's what I'm saying.
Because I can definitely turn off my television. I can
absolutely
definitely stop supporting the industry, the cricket industry, what have you, which pretty much is what I have done.
Absolutely.
So, but if enough people do that, then possibly it would make an impact.
Right.
I've already done my part.
Right.
I've turned off my television.
Oh, trust me, more people are going to stand up.
I limit my even board posting. So,
right. Because I've made it a point now to only support quality cinema. I don't go to the movies to watch all this slapstick nonsense anymore. I mean, it's just a waste. I mean, I'm not giving them my money anymore. It's just not going to happen. So, I mean, I agree. You've taken your stance. I've taken my stance. More people are going to take their stance over the next few years. And unless people are given an alternative, I mean, people aren't even going to go to the. I mean, they're not even going to go to the movies anymore. I mean, it's just like a case in point.
Financially wise, they can't go to the movies right now.
No, because oh Lord, the movie prices are
making it impossible.
Yeah, that's expensive.
But see, right, the movie prices are on the rise. But whenever there's like, you know, whenever it's a time of, you know, I mean, think about it. The unemployment rate is like 10% now? Whenever, it's, you know, something like that happens, you know, actually sales and, like, entertainment, they go up because it's, you know, you're escaping it. It's a distraction. But, I mean, it hasn't really because, I mean, look at what we're given. Like, a friend of mine, he goes to the movies all the time. 2009, he went to go see one movie. I forgot the name of it. And he said it really messed him up, and it took him a long time to go back to the cinema after that.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it really messed him up psychologically. He was like, wait a minute, this is not what I expected
at all.
Oh,
my gosh.
And this guy, I think like 6 months later, he went back to watch like Star Trek or something. But he said, yeah, man, after that movie, he said, I couldn't, like, seriously, how many movies did I see last year? Three? Three movies in 365 days. That's crazy.
I only saw one movie.
Yeah, I think I've seen about that much.
I can beat you all. the last movie I saw was actually was, let's see. Oh, Hidden Dragon. It's a freaking Jet Li movie. That was the last movie I saw.
Wait. What do you mean?
Dragon,
you mean,
Tiger?
Oh, my God.
Wait,
Kiss of the Dragon? Is that what you mean?
No.
Crossing Tiger,
Hidden Dragon. Crossing Tiger, Hidden Dragon. That was the last movie I saw in the movie theater.
Okay, you guys.
The last.
That's a big
okay. Time. You guys. What year was that?
That is huge.
You guys, what year was that?
Oh, that
God.
Was about 6 or 7 years ago.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Holy shit. Excuse me if kids are listening, but wow.
That was
and I'm telling you. Any movie that you've
but
been
yeah, and you know what?
To see?
There's nothing out there I want to see.
Yeah, I hear you.
Oh, well, actually,
out.
You know what? Honestly, no, I do want to see Avatar. But you know what? I do want to see Avatar, but you know what?
Tanya, that you that just said that?
Yes, I did.
Okay. You might not want to see that.
What?
All right. You have to go see it.
Okay, fine.
I've seen the previews on YouTube and everything, but you know what? I can wait because somehow somebody's going to get that movie and put it online, so I don't really have to go to the movies to
or
go see it.
But yeah, I mean, I understand that, and I see that in the chat room too. People say that, you know, they just wait online. But for me, it's like if you take the time to like really make a quality film, I have no problem in supporting it.
Titanic was one of those epic movies that you love to see.
I love Titanic.
Right. Even if Titanic is not my kind of movie, but the guy worked his butt off, and it was quality film.
I like all kinds of movies. I like karate. It's my favorite. But I'm also a sci-fi girl. I love sci-fi.
Yeah,
And if you haven't seen Star Trek and all the movies, except for those crappy Episode 1 and all that crap.
Star Wars prequels were crazy, ridiculous, abysmal films. Oh, my God. George Lucas, this guy, he's lost.
See, Star Trek, if you want to see Star Trek, you have to see
the new
William Shatner, Leonard Nimoy. You cannot, you have to see the original Star Trek.
Yeah.
But you do
yeah.
not see all that other Gucci
yeah.
grim crap. No, sorry. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
I love old age. I love films like with Humphrey Bogart.
Yeah, guys.
I love nostalgia. That's why
me
I have
too,
it.
Me too.
That's why I have nostalgia too. It's like what? I love all different kinds of movies. It's not just this that I like. But like I said, fans have different tastes. I'm only 36, and I know all about this stuff. I constantly watch
TV. You don't seem 36. You seem younger, by the way. This I used to know.
Thank you. Bless your heart. Bless your heart, but no. Yeah, I'm 36. I'll be 37 next month. I'll be 37 next month with two kids, please. Oh, yeah. I may sound him, but I just...
Wow.
I like... Yeah, I have a 17-year-old daughter. She'll be 18 in...
Wow.
Holy
yep, she'll
crap.
Be 18 in May. My oldest daughter will be 18 in May, and my youngest daughter just turned 15 in October.
Ooh, triple X.
That means the name we not, the person we shall not name.
Yeah, the slide of all
the character at Dental Hospital that we shall not name.
The slide of all plus.
Yeah.
See.
Well, you know, but like I said, it right now who's killing ABC Daytime is Brian Franz. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Unless
yeah, I know.
Either they contain his behind or send him packing because he's killing all
three
shows.
And then
never,
he can go work at McDonald's.
His personal agenda and his bias towards one actress.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that one actress, if this was back when Gloria Monty saved General Hospital from cancellation time, half the stuff going on with this one actress, she would have been gone. A lot of these actresses that have been being personal pets, their asses would have been gone. Sorry. It would have been gone. I don't care how you...
Like who?
No matter...
Like who?
Do you guys want me to say it? Do you really want me to say it?
Yeah,
everyone... Okay,
no.
We're talking about...
Look, what really needs to happen.
Even with General Hospital being cancellation the first time, their ratings were never as bad as they are now.
Exactly.
I thought you guys want...
Question.
Never.
Who do they need to get rid of as far as the cast? If you're gonna make, you know.
Okay, may I please say
please. Wait.
Charlie,
may I say
it, please?
Please,
can I say it, please?
Who do you need to
say it,
Charlie?
Okay,
Charlie, go ahead.
Kelly Monaco needs to get the hell out of there.
What?
Okay.
I somewhat disagree to that. I really do.
What?
And then I'm going to tell you why. Don't jump down my throat yet.
Wait, what did she say? What did she say? I didn't hear.
Honestly, you know what? I would not.
I say that is the fact of the matter is they don't necessarily have to get rid of her. They need to limit her on-screen availability,
yes.
And then they need to limit it. The point of the matter is you got to write her as believable in character, not whitewash her like that has been happening for
Question for you, ma'am. Who else do they need to limit?
Ma'am, please. You can call
me. Sorry.
Don't call me IMS, ma'am, please.
Okay, apologies. Who else do they need to limit screen time on the show?
Well,
in all
honesty, I mean, as much as I love them, they need to limit me and Jason as well.
Wait.
Honestly, I agree.
I don't agree on the Steve part. Sorry.
Look, I love Steve as much as the next person, but they do. He gets a hell. Him, Maurice, Laura. And Kelly,
wait.
Honestly, I'm not gonna argue with you about Laura Wright playing Carly. Carly has been cast too many damn times. You know, honestly, the ones that I think the best ones that I like Laura Wright's Carly now, but I think there are two other actresses that could play Carly good. Tamara Byrne is one.
You know what? I know.
I loved her, and I liked Sarah Joy Brown, but honestly, this whole entire mob side of the damn family, they need to limit their asses down to... They need to cut it down. I want the whole and cast involved. I want believable storylines. I want everything to flow and connect. like they used to, but they don't, because right now it's so, it's like, throw crap to the wall and hope and pray it sticks. Whatever they're interested in. The Franco story by a bomb. And he's a freaking actor. Ridiculous. He is a movie actor.
He's
a movie actor. This man is a movie actor, and he brought it. He did
nothing
for the ratings. He did nothing.
For this show.
Who is that guy? Oh my God!
He played
all Spider-Man. Was come on and take away airtime from some other actor that could have done it at a lower budget price. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, we got
done it at a lower budget price. See, the problem is that when you have these so-called sweet storyline, let's take the toxic, the infamous, boring, should have never happened toxic, boring, false storyline. What was the purpose of that? We got that it was going to show the hospital. Who did it show? Who actually was the main characters in this whole scheme of the toxic ball? It wasn't the hospital person.
Oh, that was how they eased. This was supposed to be about the hospital, but they seemed to run around and try to. That's how they whitewashed him. That's the first start of it.
They
whitewashed the hell.
And then they eased in the mob influence in it.
Oh yes.
That
you know what?
Hey guys, I gotta get going. I'll talk to you guys later. All right, you gotta take care.
Okay.
All right, bye. All I know is this
storyline should have featured the doctors, the nurses, the whole hospital personnel.
No, but they were too busy.
The characters on the outside coming in, just like they did the whole when they brought the monkey storyline in. You had the hospital involved, and then you had all of the people that were infected with this virus come in being sick. Now that was a good storyline.
Because they didn't
false
have mob and people were dying, and I guess that's inappropriate, right? Yeah. Well, you know what? I was gonna leave this for my closing remarks, but I'm gonna say it now because I've been sitting here for the past 45 minutes. Trying to be quiet and trying not to say something, but all of you managed to take everything I was going to say in a nice, peaceful manner and make me really, really mad because I am sick of the lower right. Oh, she needs to be less on the show. Number one, that is so not true. Number two, no, Tamara Vaughn, yeah. You know, if she stayed, yeah, that would have been a nice colleague. But she's here, and she's one of the main characters that I, you know, love. Let's see, number two, the Jason and Carly relationship is one of the best there is on daytime. When you see best friends on there, that's who I want to see. I want to see Jason and Carly helping each other. I want to see Jason and Liz finally getting back together with this whole Jake thing. I want to see Elizabeth. I'm so sick of everyone on Elizabeth's ass for sleeping with Nick. When I'm sorry, Nick and Elizabeth made that mistake. Both of them, but no one's going after Nicholas's sorry white ass. And I'm sick of everyone around wanting to blame the mob for all of the new hospital problems. No, the problem is we have this stupid guy named Brian Fonz who, who came in there, brought this little tiny little actress name of Kelly Monaco in and to screw with the whole thing. And poor Sala died because he was on it. And now it's happening on the new hospital. And it makes me mad that everyone is so angry that Carly picked Jason and Lulu to be on Jacqueline's, you know, godparents.
You want to know why I'm angry at that? Because Jason can't be around his own son, why the hell should he be around other kids?
Sorry. I'm sorry. It's the truth. He can be around every kid in that whole entire town except his son. I don't care if I know Carly and Jason have a good relationship and whatever, it's one-sided, whatever.
It is one-sided.
Because Carly always gets her damn way. Carly messes up, Jason clears it up. I don't care how, we can argue about this.
Why don't you watch the damn show instead of blocking it on your stupid ABC blocking thing before you know what the damn thing you're talking about?
Carly, stop. You know what? I understand you like Laura, right? I like her too. But I'm not gonna sit there and forget all the history of what Carly's done. I'm not saying that everything is bad between them, but Carly, you have to admit it's too selfish. I'm sorry.
For her
to ask Jason to be the godfather when he's nowhere near his own son, I'm sorry, that's gonna be an issue for me. I watched the scenes on YouTube. It was a great. I'm not saying they don't have a great friendship, but I don't forget her history. I don't forget his history. I don't forget any history of any of the characters on the show. I'm not saying everything is right, but I'm sorry, but there is half the time it leans towards that way.
Well, that's
it is. Oh, to me, it's a one-sided relationship. We can agree to disagree on that. But like I said,
Carly,
can I ask you something? Mm-hmm.
I ask you something?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you think it's fine and dandy for Carly to get in Elizabeth's face and accuse her of being an unfit mother when her and Jason made the decision that they made, any decision that affected Jake was their decision alone. So what gave Carly the right to want to take Jake away from Elizabeth?
That was before the shooting. Carly and Elizabeth made up when Michael got shot. Number two is...
They didn't make up.
Yes, they did.
They came to an understanding, but never made up. They came to an understanding about being mothers. They came to an understanding, but they never made up. They have never made up.
Truly.
Okay, maybe in your little block, ABC would, but yeah, they kind of came to maybe an understanding, but maybe...
They came to an understanding as mothers, but they have never made up. Carly's always going to be jealous of Liz. Always.
But what about the time after the courtroom scene, why, as a friend, as you say, as a friend, her being a friend to him, why didn't she encourage him not to give up? Why didn't she encourage him to go after his family? That's what a friend does, a true friend does. So can you explain to me how she didn't do any of those?
Because she got accused already of wanting to kidnap Jake for Jason. So whatever Carly does for the fans that hate her is totally wrong. But I'm just glad that Jason did accept to be Jacqueline's, you know, godfather, because I personally think he's the best person for the job. And I'm glad
he never had a choice. Carly would have badged him until he gave in. I'm sorry. Jake should be the number one priority to Jason, not someone else's child.
Elizabeth and Jason made that choice together, didn't they? Didn't they? Elizabeth and Jason made that decision together, right?
But... you know what? They made the decision to stay apart because he wants to... No. His protecting Jake is why he's not with Elizabeth.
Elizabeth and Jason made that together, didn't they?
No. Jake, didn't you see her fight for him? Did you not see her face in it? And did you not
but
see Carly?
Made...
You know what? We're gonna agree to disagree. That's all I'm gonna say on that, because I'm not gonna argue with that. But we all have our own point to make. I'm gonna always think the way I think about Carly. I'm not gonna. Carly and Elizabeth have come to an understanding as mothers, how they want their children.
Well,
Elizabeth
we
was there.
Seven.
Elizabeth was there in that time when she was imagining that what if her children got shot. But yet and still, I don't think Carly saw it the way that Elizabeth saw it, and the way that she saw it was different. But like I said, they'll never be friends. There's always going to be tension between them both. They're never going to, after all these years, they're not going to just come in and do a, well, this is GH,
well,
what am I talking about? They're going to come in and do a 180. Right now, the way the show is running, nothing works. And the way you understand it is different than the way I understand it. And like I said, just because I block it out on my TV does not mean that I do not go on YouTube and do not watch the scenes, because I do. Because I need to know what I'm talking about. And then I also be in the chat room when they're doing recaps, so I know what's going on. It's not like I don't sit there and I'm going to sit there and talk about something I don't know about.
I'm just saying people give Carly a bad rap, and I'm getting really sick of it. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, see, we'll agree to disagree.
I'm sick of Carly and Elizabeth both getting the bad raps.
Both of them are taking, but like I said, we'll agree to disagree. I'm going to say goodnight.
Right. We can all agree that at this point in time, there does need to be a new direction, because right now, what direction they're going in is not working. It won't work, and it's only going to turn off more and more fans. I mean, the fans that are still watching now, that's fine and well and good, but what happens in the next 3, 4, maybe 6 months down the line? Are the ratings, right now, I see no room for the ratings to be improving in any way. I'm sorry, and the demographics keep falling, and we all know about the focus groups. They don't work.
But we do have one thing on our side, and we are off the air, so no one can hear us. Jason and Elizabeth are sharing a couple of scenes together.
Yep, so, and when that happens, it'll be great. But
I know, I'm just saying this for something positive. That's all I'm saying, Tanya. I was just trying to say something positive because, I feel like something positive needed to say. I thought it was good after a year of one couple that had never shared a scene together finally gets to share a scene together, which doesn't make sense because I've never seen it in any other soap opera what we've seen on the screen.
True. But like I said, Cece, I enjoy your letters. Please keep writing them and
keep sending them out to
have them printed so that everybody can see it. Keep up the good work. We'll all keep fighting the good fight.
Yeah, and Cece, you have an open invitation anytime here. If you want to come discuss your letters, or if you want to come debate something on here, or if you just want to hear Brian Fonz, come here, because I don't know why no one's listening. Because, I mean, with the ratings, I've never seen then a hospital dropped so down in the rating level. I don't remember anything like this.
Thank you guys again for inviting me and for having me on your show. And I will in the future come in, and I would love to debate anything, any topic that we on the table.
Oh, man, you know what? I thought about you loathsome, and I think it's not missing anything. But I wish you could. I wish someone would tell them that whatever focus groups they have for themselves is not working. Whatever they are paying, their focus groups are not working. Because their focus groups that they have are not working. They are not seeing what we are seeing.
All right, guys, I'm heading out, and
okay.
I will probably come out on the next show, Carly, and
okay. Cece, if you want to come back here, we have a show Monday night at 8 o'clock.
Okay, I will.
Okay.
I'm going to join you. I will let you know.
Okay,
okay,
yeah.
Thank you for having me. Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Cece.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye. 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 Bye, Carly.